Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the TR90 Body Burn 30 support call. This call happens Monday through Friday at this time, which for me is 6:40 Pacific time, 7:40 Mountain time, 8:40 Central time, and 9:40 Eastern time. Thrilled to have you along with us. If you ever miss these calls, you can pick them up on an application called SoundCloud or wherever you get your podcasts by putting in Frank, F-R-A-N-K, Lomas, L-O-M-A-S, or TR90. And if you like what you hear, you can definitely bookmark it and come back for more. If you're listening to this as a podcast and you wish to catch us live, dial in to 712-775-8972. And when it prompts for the six-digit conference code, put in 910022 to join us live. I am Susan Mann out of Portland, Oregon, and I'm your host today, welcoming you to the call. Our panel of hosts do these calls in support of your TR90 efforts, and we have these calls archived on SoundCloud back 15 and a half years. I come to you with an education background, a huge interest in health, nutrition, and exercise dating back at least four decades, back when I was in high school and I had grandparents with hereditary heart disease and adult onset diabetes, and knowing I didn't want those challenges in my life. I have done many things to help prevent that over the years, including coming into the TR90 program when it first started 15 years ago. And in about 6 months, I was able to drop 20 body inches. I didn't lose a single ounce because I gained muscle mass, but I did drop 20 body inches. So it is highly recommended to do your photos, your measurements, and check how your clothes are fitting at least once a month. Also, if you've got like an Omron or a Living scale, it will give you a clear picture of what's going on, but that even those are somewhat limited. And the old bathroom scales, well, that'll only give you how much you weigh, and that's never really a clear picture. With that being said, that TR90 program, when you're first starting out, is your one lean meal a day, two shakes a day, three snacks a day, 30 grams of protein at least three of those meals, taking your supplements 15 to 20 minutes before a meal is best. If you're not able to do that, do take them with your meals. I would say about 40% of the time I had to take them with my meals. So definitely keep that in mind. 7+ servings of fruits and vegetables every single day. Those fresh fruits and vegetables will give you macronutrients, micronutrients, and fiber. Your macronutrients are your proteins, your carbs, your sugars, your fats. Your micronutrients are your vitamins and minerals. And fiber, well, that helps in two ways, one of which is with satiety or that feeling of fullness. The other way that fiber helps is for good digestive health. For that, guys need 45 grams of fiber daily, and ladies, we need 32 grams of fiber daily for that good digestive health. And if you're getting all that fiber, you'll want to get up and get moving. 30 minutes of moderate to heavy exercise, at least 5 days a week. You can definitely do more than that, but it's highly recommended not to do less than that. All the studies I've read over the last 15, 20 years really puts that as the bottom baseline of what you can, that you really need to do in order to stay good and healthy going on into your senior years. And if you're exercising heavily, you could be losing up to a quart of body moisture in an hour. So it is recommended that you stop every 15 minutes to rehydrate. Your baseline for hydration starts at 1 ounce of water for every 2 pounds you weigh. So if you weigh 100 pounds, you start out at 50 ounces of water and you build it up from there. Depending on how active you are, how humid it is outside, how many fresh fruits and vegetables you're getting that are moisture laden, those things all are part of that equation. Then the last thing I recommend that I have found in several of the studies has been to get 7 to 9 hours of good quality sleep a night. It clears out toxins, restores muscles and tissues, stores memories. It just does a wealth of system resets while you are sleeping in various stages. So getting that good quality sleep sets your brain up for making good decisions. So it's really important. With that being said, today's information is coming from a book called The Built to Move, The 10 Essential Habits to Help You Move Freely and Live Fully. It was written by Kelly Sturt and Juliette Sturt. We are actually in, I believe it's number 7, which has to do with balance. And we're going to start with arch commentary, and then we're probably going to be getting into quote-unquote balancing acts. So, the arch of the foot is golden, a small structure built of bones, fascia, ligaments, and tendons. It helps balance the body's weight between the heel and the ball of the foot. It turns the foot into a spongy, dynamic platform from which a zillion different moves can be launched. The medical establishment thinks the arch is so critical that artificial arch supports, orthotics, have even been developed to put into shoes. Everyone agrees that the arch is important. But to paraphrase the great running coach Nicholas Romanov, if you look at a bridge with an arch, Google the New River Gorge Bridge in West Virginia or one of the many arch bridges in China. You can see what's holding up the arch. Nothing. Well, not entirely nothing. The weight of the arch structure is carried outward to the sides called abutments, and in the case of the foot, the heel and the ball. What we're getting at here is that the arch should be more or less self-supporting. There may be times when some artificial support is warranted due to an injury or extreme foot pain, but to wear arch supports for life is like spraining your arm and continuing to wear a sling when it heals. The support aid isn't only unnecessary, it impedes the strengthening of the structure so that it stays weak. Our opinion is that if you want to shut down the foot for good, give it an arch support and then it doesn't have to do any work. Even people with so-called flat feet or collapsed arches have functional arches, although many of them think they don't. We can ask a room full of people to get into the reference foot position, and suddenly some of them discover that the arches that they always thought were non-existent were just hiding in plain sight. Granted, some people have very low arches, but in all the feet we've surveyed, we've never detected one person who didn't have an arch that was apparent when they stood in reference foot position. What this means is that simply organizing your body better will improve the functionality of your arches, which will translate into more spring into your step and better balance. It will also help you to avoid collapsed feet, which is entirely different from collapsed arches. Collapsed feet occur when the weight is not evenly distributed between the front and the back of your feet, and your ankles lean in toward each other. Limiting ankle range of motion can contribute to collapsed feet, and the condition is often a harbinger of lower leg injury. A while back, we worked with a Division I women's swim team, and one of the things we were trying to do was help the athletes strengthen their ankles and feet. Most of the women went out of the water were wearing either flip-flops or super soft shoes with arch support, which had left their feet weak and desensitized. Strengthening their feet, we reasoned, would give them a more powerful push off the wall and get them off the starting blocks faster. During the first 2 weeks of foot-centric conditioning, which involved reorganizing their foot position while standing and walking and training on balance blocks, we were getting texts from the swimmers complaining about how their feet were cramping as they walked around campus. Never mind that they were super athletes, their feet were weak. But after the first 2 weeks, the cramping stopped and they began to see dividends in the pool. Even their kicking improved because they were seeing a better function up the whole chain. balancing acts. Well, Juliet's mom, Janet, swore off bike riding when she was in her 60s, feeling uncertain about whether she would could balance on two wheels. We'd go on vacation with her and would want to rent bikes, and she was like, nope. She's now 77, and although she's been a lifelong exerciser and is very fit, lean, and vibrant, has now taken up dance and Tai Chi, both of which are great for fortifying balance. She is yet to get back up on a bike. Like most other people, Janet just didn't know that she needed to pay attention to balance when she was younger, and her regular pursuits didn't have a balance bolstering dividend. There is a direct association between Janet's trepidation towards the bike riding and our own avid mountain biking practices. We want to do everything we can to make sure that it doesn't happen to us. We also have in mind that the example of someone of approximately the same age as Juliet's mom, Bob Licht, who's the founder of Sea Trek Sea Kayaking Adventures. Bob still stand-up paddles, whitewater kayaks, and mountain bikes. He can because he's been doing it for years. Neither Bob nor Janet is good or bad. They're just good examples of what can happen with balance. So with so many things, balance is a use it or lose it proposition. We won't argue that with the fact that the body is subject to change with age. In the balance realm, certain things do occur. When we get older, the central nervous system doesn't integrate the various signals that it gets from our balance apparatus as well or as quickly. The functioning of proprioception receptors declines. Changes occur in the inner ear, particularly among those impulse-transmitting hair cells, which diminish. And, of course, most people don't see as well as the years go by, although somewhat paradoxically and probably due to proprioception decline, we depend more on vision for balance as we age. All of these things, even without the complicating factors of conditions like arthritis and diabetes, which can affect the feet and ankles, come together to make it more difficult to stay steady in the face of balance challenges. There's some inevitability here, some being the operative word. There is good evidence to suggest, and not just that of Bob Licht variety, that exercise and balance training can stem some of the natural deterioration of the balance system. For instance, proprioception, which probably contributes the most to balance at all ages, has shown to improve in people who regularly do Tai Chi. Way back in 1997, a study at the Western University of Ontario found that while younger people, ages 19 to 27, definitely had more fine-tuned proprioception than older people, ages 60 to 86, older people who exercised had better proprioception than older people who did not. The people that in that Canadian study didn't specifically work on balance. So what happens if you do? In 2020, a group of Australian researchers attempting to establish guidelines for the World Health Organization did a comprehensive study or survey of past studies, 116 of them, with the combined tally of over 25,000 participants. What they determined was that the people 65 years and older who performed balance and function exercises were 24% less likely to fall than the control subjects. People who did both balance and functional exercises combined with other types of exercise for more than 3 hours a week and had a 42% lower risk of falls. That's very significant. We would add that it's not just that the people who do balance exercises are less likely to fall, it's also that when they do fall, they're less likely to be injured or need medical care. If you're not moved by fear of falling, then you're young, and even the not so young, at the difficulties that come with age can be unimaginable. Consider that working on balance will improve your overall movement. Mostly when we think about balance, we think about avoiding some obstacle, righting ourselves if we trip or lose our center of gravity and tumble. But we're also constantly employing our balance skills to move easily through space. And this is particularly true in sports and exercise. Some activities themselves enhance balance, particularly those that depend most on balance, such as cycling, soccer, basketball, skiing, ice skating, surfing, gymnastics, yoga, tai chi, and qigong. I would also put karate in there because some karate practices work on balance. But a little extra balance work can also improve in performance in these activities, as well as help you to improve your agility, speed, and other activities. Perhaps most important, balance work has been shown to help reduce injuries among both professional and recreational athletes. And on Wednesday, we'll be getting into horsing around in regards to balance. At the top of the hour, if you scoot over to Facebook, One Team Global Live, one of our leaders will be sharing some information on how to build a new skin business. This is Susan Mann for March 31st, 2025, signing out. If you scoot over to Facebook, One Team Global Live, one of our leaders will be sharing some information on how to build that new skin business. We'll have Frank up tomorrow, and I'll be back on Wednesday. Go out, make it great, and I welcome any thoughts or comments you may have as soon as I get us off mute. And if you're one of my quiet types, you can always send me a text to 503-502-4863. Just let me know you're part of the TR9 group so I can get you out of the spam folder. So hopefully you found that of interest. And if there's no other thoughts or comments, I'm going to go ahead and release this. Go out, make it a great day. And if you get a chance to exercise in the great outdoors, so much the better.